You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Nightlight Hour number 3, Act 3, as we call it here. Getting started here and in the home stretch here on a Monday night. Just a reminder, we are live, obviously, tonight and tomorrow night, and then we will be off, and the network will be playing Christmas music and Lou Regani. How cool does that sound, Conrad?
I mean, it sounds awesome.
Lou Regani is awesome. We had him on the show. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
When we first started, we should have Lou back. He's great. So that will be a very festive few days on Nightlight. We will be back next week on Monday and Tuesday, and then be off again for 2 short breaks. I have 94 vacation days I still have to use, Conrad.
I don't know if you can get it in.
You want to buy any of them? Can you buy? Wouldn't it be sweet if we could barter stuff like that?
I think that's breaking some type of law.
Well, you're not HR, are you?
No.
All right. Welcome back. We've had a really fun time tonight. Great guest. Mike Clemens was here in hour number 1, and he broke down the Bear-Packer game, which I understand was heartbreaking for Packer fans, probably to have to relive it, but Mike does such a great job. Conrad, after your team loses, do you find that it helps to talk about it, or do you not want to talk about it?
I just want to, you know, go on to the next week.
All right, let me take you inside the mind of a Bear fan for the last couple decades. It's like therapy. When the Bears would lose, I couldn't get enough of, because like the Chicago media will make jokes about them. They don't go, oh, our Bears. They make jokes about them. And that helped me. So, you know, even a couple weeks ago when the Packers beat them on that interception, it helps me. I don't know. It helps me to, it's therapeutic, I think, when you listen to people. Like, even like Mike when he was here. Did that help you in any way?
No.
I appreciate your honesty.
The thing I just realized is I want, you know, Nixon off the team, but, you know.
But okay, but if you get Nixon off the team, then maybe he doesn't make that interception.
Happy.
Oh, I know, but like, yeah, and I understand the other day he made some serious errors, but I don't know. It's a gritty team. The Packers are gritty. They're going to bounce back. And
well, I said, you know, as soon as Malik came in, I said, well, don't worry, guys. We got the best backup in the league.
Yes. And he wasn't game planned for. Like, he could, like, Love can run. He's mobile, but not like Willis.
No.
And I feel like, here's my biggest fear. Like, the Bears and the Packers are 1-1 against each other this year. The rivalry is back full on. It's great. My biggest fear, playing the Packers in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean.
And it could happen.
It could. It could. You know, the Packers can still win the North.
Mathematically?
Yeah.
Correct.
We have to win out, and the Bears have to lose out.
In Detroit, it doesn't matter, correct?
Detroit, no. The Bears and the Lions still face each other.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you need the Bears to lose that game, but it doesn't matter what Detroit does in terms of the Packers.
The Lions need to win out, and we need to lose out.
I'm sorry.
Out.
Correct.
The Lions need us to lose out.
That's a mess. I can't even, like, my son was listening to all this playoff stuff last night. I'm like, I don't even know how you can follow that. I'm just like, whatever, you know. But anyway, we talked about all of that with Mike. It was great to have Mike in the studio. And then we talked to, in hour number 2, my friend and actor Paul Gannis was here telling his Rob Reiner story, which was an absolutely great story. And I got to share a memory with Paul back from our elementary school parent days, which was really fun when Paul yelled in the middle of a kid's performance. And then Johnny Beaner was here at 6:35. Very funny Madison-based stand-up comic and host of the podcast Cavalry. Check it out. Johnny's one of the funniest guys I know and always fun to have on the show. Check out hours number 1 and 2 at civicmedia.us. All the shows are cataloged as podcasts. Let's reintroduce our question of the night. Here's the Nightlight question of the night, folks.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your question tonight, folks? We're turning the tables. We ask you guys questions every night. Your responses are fantastic. Tonight, I'd like you to ask a question, and it can be anything. Conrad and I are both pretty much open books. I don't know. Would you answer personal questions, Con?
Yeah. You can't go any of some limits, but, you know.
Yeah. What's a limit? Give me a for instance.
Well, you know, I won't give out my social security number here, but.
I thought you were committed to the show. Okay. Apparently not. So don't ask Conrad for his social security number, but I'll give you a fake one. Ask us anything, and it could be about your theory of life, if you're wondering what to buy for a Christmas gift, what kind of car you should drive. It doesn't matter. Just ask away, and we'll do our best to answer or discuss. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app, or if you're watching the radio on the stream at YouTube, Facebook, or X, you can ask us a stream comment or make a stream comment question. We'll answer that as well. So just be part of the show. It's always more fun when you guys participate. We've got some stream comments here now. Sydney Politics. He's politics tonight, Con. No Frankenstein.
Yes, on the YouTube.
On the YouTube. He says, would you rather eat a bean-sized human or a human-sized bean? Is that from a movie or something?
I don't know.
I guess a
human-sized bean, because for sure. That's not cannibalism.
Exactly. Then. And, look, cannibalism is fine in a pinch if there's nothing else.
Well.
When, you know, you got to do it if you got to do it. But, yeah, I would go human-sized bean, although that would be.
It would take you a while, but.
Take you a while, and it would probably, it could end your life. That could be too much.
It would rot.
Yeah, exactly. And it depends what kind of bean. Like, what kind of bean would you eat if you had to eat a bean?
Pinto bean?
Really?
I don't know. I don't like beans. That's the thing.
I'd go garbanzo, I think. a nice garbanzo bean. Give me a human size, small human size garbanzo bean. Great question, Sydney. Thank you. Sydney also says, if you had to suddenly be in a NASCAR in the middle of a race or under center about to take a sack in an NFL game, great question. Which would you pick?
I'm taking that sack.
Dude, if I got sacked in an NFL game, it would kill me. I mean,
do you think you could control a NASCAR going that fast though?
Yeah, I guess I would take the sack too.
There's no way I'm going to that NASCAR.
I would just probably take my foot off the gas and let everybody pass me and pull over.
You put your blinker on
and ask for directions.
Put your blinker on. Yeah, exactly. Your hazards.
And shoulder check. Coming over. Great questions. Thank you, Sydney. Those are awesome. Yeah, I guess I would go quarterback, but I would. But, you know, there's no guarantee I would take a sack. I have a quick release.
You know what you could do?
Tell me.
Just take a knee, and then the play's over.
Right. And then we'd lose the game, and my own team would sack me.
And, you know, yeah, everyone hates you.
That's right. I don't care. I would live to fight another day, take another snap. Melissa from Willie Street in Madison says, hi, Pete. My question for you is, if there is one thing you could make vanish from the world, what would it be? Well, after I ate a human-sized garbanzo bean, I would probably say garbanzo beans. I would never want to see another garbanzo bean. I guess, you know, this is a stock hack answer or whatever you want to say. Hunger. It bothers me that there are people that go hungry, and we could wipe that out if we wanted to. So I would probably say hunger. What about you, Con? What would you do?
The Chicago Bears.
Not going to happen. You are totally getting a dose of what I've had to deal with. 30 years, Conrad.
I'm okay with one loss.
Yeah. That was a heck of a game. That has to be up there in Bear Packer. Even the game 2 weeks ago was probably one of the best.
No, the all-time, I talked about it last week when B.J. Raji intercepted that one in the NFC Championship.
That one hurt. He intercepted Caleb Haney, another Caleb.
Yeah, intercepted it, ran it back. It was one of the best moments I've ever had.
That Caleb did not have ice in his veins. He was a blazing inferno in his veins, and he couldn't wait to cough it up. So John from the 608 says, question for you and Conrad. How crushing will it be for the Packer fans if the Pack gets their ass kicked again by Da Bears in the playoffs? It was awful quiet at work today around the water cooler. I'm guessing John's a Bear fan. I don't know if I knew that about John.
Well, you know.
Well, Conrad's got to answer that one.
Honestly, this year, I don't expect us to go far, to be honest, since our whole team is just...
You guys are in bad shape now. That's...
I don't expect too much anymore.
Yeah. Would you almost rather slip a few spots for draft picks, or do you still hope to make the playoffs?
No, I don't think that... No matter what pick the Packers get in the draft, they can't draft, so...
They can't draft?
not recently.
Oh, man.
Every defensive player we draft is just...
Hey, if you want to swap Ryan Poles for your guy, I would do that.
Well, you know, he's going to be right this year. If they take the North, is he going to ever give it back?
We'll see. Oh, that's right. He might actually take... It was such an empty promise 4 years ago, I kind of forgot about it. John also says, love the holy pokey drug test. LOL. Know a guy that got several DUIs in Illinois. A passenger witness to one of them told us that when the cop said, "Sir, it smells to me like you've been drinking," he responded, and I quote, "Yeah, officer, well, it smells to me like you've been eating donuts." Looks like we have a dilemma. Oh, man. He says, great real life fun. And I want to know what happened after that. Did they wail on him? Or did they offer him a donut? I don't know. Thank you, John. Bridget from the 818 says, what is a Christmas tradition you had as a child? What is your favorite Christmas TV show, cartoon, growing up? Christmas tradition as a child? Probably Midnight Mass, because we got to stay up late. It was kind of fun. My Christmas TV show, I liked Kris Kringle, or the kind of, what do you call it, the stop motion?
The claymation.
Yeah, the claymation. I liked watching that in Peanuts Christmas. What about you, Con?
I'm trying to think of the... I mean, it wasn't really shows. I did watch those cartoons, though, that, like...
Really?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Loved them.
Frosty. I'm trying to think of any other ones. I mean, Grinch, I watched that all the time, too, when I was...
Yeah, growing. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all good stuff, classics. That's why they were around when you were a kid, too. Steve from Florida, that's Conrad's dad, says, Pete's scientific question, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, it has to be the egg, because how could you hatch a chicken? Oh, but wait a minute. How could y'all? That's the age-old question, Steve.
I think it just spawned one day.
If it's either God put a chicken on the earth or the Big Bang created an egg. Let's go with that. I'm covering both bases. Thank you, Steve. What do you think? Answer your own question, please. You've got the floor. Melissa from Willie Street says, I guess she liked our answer, Con.
Okay. The clapping.
And now I want to ask them emoji. What their answers are. So feel free to share your answers, folks, too. And John Murray Madison says, Bears all day, baby. I knew John was from Illinois, but I never heard him talk about the Bears before. Best of luck and congrats on your win the other night, John. And we'll see what happens. It should be an interesting playoff season. Do we have time to play that Giannis clip?
Yeah, we can.
This is from Mike Clemens,
sorry,
right?
We don't.
Oh, we don't. Okay. All right. We'll try to get to it before the end.
Yeah.
Mike Clemens shared a funny Giannis clip with us. He's having some holiday dilemmas, but we will get into all that coming up in just a few moments, folks. I'm very excited for my next two guests. They will be here, Eric Walterkins and Gavin Schmidt, the two hosts of the Milwaukee Mafia podcast, are here in studio. We're talking mob. Don't get whacked before you hear this interview. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you here on this Monday night. We are almost midway through hour three. John Murray from Madison in the 608 says, Conrad, this one's for you and slightly personal. How many beer cans in your collection and do you still actively collect? I collected for many years and have accumulated a mountain of them. You have a beer can collection? You and John, like, communicating off hours? How do I not know this?
I used to when I was in college. I don't have one anymore. Okay. I kind of, like, was, like, I just don't want to move this with me when I, you know, graduated. So now I don't have any.
When I was growing up in our neighborhood in Chicago, people, like, teamed up for beer can collections. And the big thing was cone tops. If you could get your hands on a cone top, that was huge. And when I was up in Three Lakes at my grandma's cottage once, my great aunt found cone top beer cans buried on her property. And it was like, I'm like, I am going to be the coolest guy in the entire city of Chicago when I go back. And it was incredible. It didn't really bring me the glory I wanted or necessarily thought I deserved, but it was fun to see them. And then finally, Steve in Florida says, I believe it was the egg that came first, seeing the oldest recipe known to man and woman is the deviled egg. Well done, Steve. Thank you, sir. All right, we are moving on here. I'm very excited to welcome my next guests. They are the hosts of the Milwaukee Mafia podcast. Joining me now here in the studio are Mr. Eric Walterkins and Gavin Schmidt. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Did I say your last name?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do pretty good. Yeah, Walterkins.
Well done.
It's phonetically like okay. Good to know. This is fun, and I'm so glad you guys like live in the area. I assumed you were both from Milwaukee because of the name of the podcast, but you're both.
That's what everybody assumes.
Yeah, it's a common mistake.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I don't feel so bad now.
Yeah, it keeps us safe. We can talk about it without having to walk down the street.
You can show your face in Northeast Wisconsin. Nobody knows. You have the inside scoop. All right, so let's start off here. Let's tell us a little bit about. I'm fascinated by the mafia, the mob. I love mob movies. I grew up, I grew up reading mob books, but in my adult life, I've read several of them, and I find the whole operation fascinating. And especially when I worked Milwaukee as a stand-up comic, the woman who booked the club went to high school with Frank Balestrieri, and she knew him, and she took us to meet him one night. And I'm a 23-year-old kid, and I'm scared to death, like I'm gonna get whacked for some. And I'm like, what? I didn't even do anything. Why would they whack me? Like, now that I'm older, it seems so irrational, my fears. But I did not get to meet him, unfortunately. But we'll get to that. Tell us a little bit about the Milwaukee Mafia podcast. What made you want to do this, and what can people expect to hear when they tune in?
Eric, I'll let you have this one.
Yeah. So the podcast started. So basically, Gavin has published multiple books on the mafia.
Yeah.
And things like that. And since about 2004, I've been obsessed with podcasts, which might surprise a lot of people because a lot of people didn't even realize podcasts existed back then, but they do. And in 2004, I decided that someday I would start a podcast. Well, it never really happened until we were trying to figure out when the podcast started. I think it was probably 2019. That we started up.
I don't remember at this point.
But we just kind of basically I threw out the idea one day that we could start a podcast about the Milwaukee Mafia. And Gavin, I think, kind of went out and started telling his friends about it, like this possibility. And I was dragging my feet saying, like, well, maybe we'll do it, maybe we'll do it. And he kept coming back to me and he's like, this person said it would be a great idea. When are we gonna do this? And finally I'm like, All right, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to order all the equipment today, and then we'll start a podcast.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So. I'm glad you remember that, because I don't remember it at all. But yeah, I had been writing and researching for a while at that point, and another outlet to get the information out there is always something I'm looking for, so it seemed great, and now it keeps me active, because... you know, some weeks I don't want to do it, but but I know if I don't, Eric's going to get mad. So it keeps me constantly looking for more information. So it's nice that it keeps me honest with it.
What are you ever worried? Like, not that you guys reveal state secrets or anything, but I would be nervous if I'm talking about the mob on a regular basis. And I don't know how active they are. That'll be one of my questions for you. But like in Milwaukee, are you ever worried they're going to go knock that podcast off? This is like a secret dealio or?
No.
No.
If it hasn't happened yet, probably
no,
not.
I mean, I can't say that I've never received an email that was a little cranky.
Okay.
But never an outright threat.
Okay.
Generally speaking, I have a rule that I won't do stories that are newer than 50 years. Now, we're reaching a point on the podcast where I'm going to have to start breaking that rule. But I try to keep it in there because people don't care as much if you're talking about their grandparents.
Right.
It's when you're talking about what happened last week that they care a little bit more.
Right. How much knowledge of the mob, like you said, you write books, Gavin, mm-hmm. like before you started doing the podcast, is this something, like when did you get interested in the mob, particularly the Milwaukee mob?
Very late. So when I was in high school, I had a friend in high school who said that his mother graduated high school with one of the Balistrieri's.
Okay.
And now, again, I'm not from Milwaukee originally, so I don't know what that means. I'm like, wait, what?
There's an Italian guy? Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, there's mafia in Milwaukee? What? So it had kind of sat in the back of my head since that point, but no, I didn't actively start looking into it until much later when I'd always known I wanted to write. So it was when I decided, well, if I'm going to write, I have to find a topic. And
yeah.
it bounced back to the forefront again.
That's great. All right. Eric Walterkins, Gavin Schmidt are here, the hosts of the Milwaukee Mafia podcast. Check it out. We're going to break for the news. We'll come back. I'm going to ask them about a couple Hollywood connections to the mob. We'll talk Balistrieri. I have a Balistrieri story, too, I found interesting. Okay. So I want to ask you guys about that, too, and maybe Jeff Fort.
Oh.
Okay. All right. So we'll do all that after the news. Lots of fun mob talk coming up. Great to have you with me, folks. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I really wanna go with you. I really wanna show you, Lord, that it won't take long, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
My sweet Lord.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. We are back, and we were talking. Well, we were talking mob. We're going to get back into that, but Eric Walterkins and Gavin Schmidt are the hosts of the Milwaukee Mafia podcast, and we were talking. I tried to make you guys look tough through the window for like a mob, a Michael Corleone pretending he was armed photo, and then Gavin whips out a copy of A Guy Thing. I was like, okay, a movie I co-wrote. So I was like, all right, we won't go the tough angle. But
you have to remember, he is a researcher. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, obviously. As soon as he saw your name, hey, he started looking at what can I find out about this guy?
Who's this Pete character?
It's great to have you guys here. We're talking about, let's talk... All right, you told us about the podcast before the news. Did Frank Balistrieri, who is probably widely considered the mafia name in Milwaukee, the godfather of Milwaukee, the rumor has it, or what I heard from, or maybe I read it somewhere, is that he took the rap for his sons. They were bootlegging or something, and he said it was me and went to jail on their behalf. Is that a true thing?
I don't know about bootlegging. I mean, that's an entirely different era.
Yeah.
But... there's what you're saying isn't entirely untrue. They had multiple trials in the 1980s. There were at least three different major felonies that they went to trial for.
Okay.
And on one of them, yes, there was a situation where Frank said, if you remove my sons from the indictment, I'll plead guilty to
okay.
this. That did happen. It wasn't bootlegging, but yes, that is something that happened.
I don't know what I was thinking. Bootlegging is like from the 20s.
Yeah.
but it is fair to add that I believe both kids spent time in prison.
They did. They yeah. still went to prison on one of the other indictments. Yes.
Oh, boy.
So.
Okay. And what have you ever met Frank Balistrieri?
No. So Frank passed in 1993.
Okay.
So I would have been a very young man at that point, but I did know his son, well, his younger son. So,
okay.
Yeah.
At that point, let me ask you this. Where is the level of mob activity in Milwaukee these days? Like, I always wonder about it. Like, I read about it in Chicago sometimes, a huge mafia city with the outfit. But, like, Some of these smaller towns, Kansas City, Cleveland, Milwaukee, what is the level of mob occupancy or activity there these days?
Quite low.
Yeah.
You're going to get a different answer from everybody you ask.
Okay.
For me, I'm going to say quite low. From what I hear from people, there's always going to be a little gambling going on here and there. But the last confirmed mob murder was in 1989.
Mm.
So whatever it is they're doing in Milwaukee, if they're still active, they're being pretty quiet about it.
They're either great at it or...
Yeah.
What kind of a mob don was Balestrieri? Was he more like a Sam Giancana, kind of out there and liking the profile or the attention and that kind of stuff? Or was he more like a Tony Accardo who was behind the scenes?
The first, yeah. He's really? he's a Sam Giancana kind of guy.
Oh,
because
wow.
I don't know if he loved the publicity, but he didn't shy away from it.
Yeah.
He was getting headlines all the time, and which I think is one of his major downfalls, is that he wouldn't have had every law enforcement agency out there looking at him if he wasn't constantly
right.
opening his mouth about things.
And one of the things we've talked about a lot is that it seems like Frank very much was completely focused on getting things for Frank.
Yeah.
He wasn't about the mafia at all. He was leveraging the mafia to get him
wow.
more money, get him things.
Okay.
You know,
wow.
he wasn't really concerned about the institution of the mafia,
yeah.
per se.
What part of Milwaukee, was he a Milwaukee kid, I assume? Grew
yes.
up in Milwaukee? Like, what neighborhood was he from?
That's a good question. I think when he was born, it still would have been Third Ward, because Third Ward
oh,
is
okay.
the traditional Italian neighborhood. It got more or less removed with redevelopment when the freeways went through. But as an adult, he would be like Lower East Side Milwaukee.
Okay.
Wow. Sort of, for people who don't know Milwaukee that well, kind of the Brady Street area.
Oh, yeah.
You had been talking about the comedy club off the air. That was probably, you're probably referring to the one that was
comedy
right
cafe.
Off of, yeah, probably
right.
the one that was right off of Brady.
There was a great story about, well, there's a restaurant there behind the Comedy Cafe called Giovanni's.
Yep.
And they used to, the comedy club used to put us up in a, they called it a condo. It was a crappy apartment, but it was like across kitty corner from Giovanni's. And supposedly there were bootlegging tunnels from Giovanni's to this guy because the guy that ran the kitchen or something lived in this condo. And supposedly it was haunted with his spirit. And I can't remember his name, but... there are stories of comics waking up in the middle of the night hearing the bagpipes, and they'll say something to the club owner, and the club owner would say, oh, that's really interesting. And then later they would say to other people, that guy's favorite instrument was the bagpipes, which sounds ridiculous. Whose favorite instrument are the bagpipes? Like, that just sounds like urban lore to me.
Yeah.
But there was another place right down the street called Cataldo's where you could get linguine and clam sauce till 5 o'clock in the morning. So we would go out drinking till 2 in the morning, then we go to Cataldo's. You know, you didn't have to go fast food. You could get this great Italian meal at 3 o'clock in the morning. Was that a big mob place?
I don't know about Cataldo's, but Giovanni's definitely.
Okay.
Giovanni's was on the corner of Brady and Van Buren. It's torn
yeah,
down now.
Right.
So the manager there was a man named Max Adonis. And Max Adonis was this big, hulking, muscular guy, but he only had one arm.
Wow.
And he ended up being killed in Giovanni's. He was shot in the back of the head, execution style, in Giovanni's.
That must be the guy they're talking
yeah,
about then.
Yeah, he was involved in the cocaine trade in the early 80s.
Yikes.
So I
guarantee, unless there were more than one people killed at that place, that had to be the guy that lived in the...
It very well could have been.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I don't remember the ghost having one arm, supposedly. I don't remember what I
heard about that. You know, and maybe other possible. Things happened there in earlier years.
Sure.
But he was definitely a well-known mob-connected guy that was Giovanni. I think that's part of the reason they tore it down. It's because the bad reputation
oh,
after
wow.
that.
Okay.
I don't know that firsthand, but I suspect it did not help their reputation.
You guys had a recent... episode, maybe it wasn't that recent. I found it. James Caan's involvement with the mob. If we could go Hollywood here for a moment, was he friendly with the mob? I find it hard to believe an actor is in the mob.
So he wouldn't have been in the mob. Yeah. I got to be honest with you, Pete. Like, I don't remember. So, as I explained to you before, like, it's we have episodes that drop every 2 weeks, and those are current. And there's other ones that we drop in between that are really old. So whenever James Caan died, we recorded that episode. So I
2022.
Yeah, it's been a little while. There's definitely mob connections. So if people want to check that episode out, they'll hear the mob connections.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he's clearly not a mob guy. It's kind of, you can figure that out from his name, that he doesn't really have a strong Italian sounding name.
Right.
But, yeah, a lot of anybody who's connected to like the Godfather movies in some way usually has a mob story, because the mob loved Godfather.
Yeah.
And the mob started taking on some of the mannerisms and talking some of the ways they did in The Godfather because they loved the movie so much. So,
that's so funny.
So they became like a caricature of themselves.
Isn't that crazy? Like, that they weren't even like that. But then Hollywood, some guy wrote a script and, like, you know, like,
they were probably like that to some degree, but they just like fed into that.
Yeah.
I can keep it Hollywood for a minute, because I believe that there is another actor that has some connections to the Milwaukee Mafia, and that's Mark Ruffalo, right?
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's
very light.
It's very light, but yes. But Mark Ruffalo was born and raised in Kenosha.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not him personally, but, yeah, he's got some family members who were criminal underworld figures in Kenosha.
Right.
So, yeah, let's not talk too bad about Mark. I like Mark Ruffalo.
No, he's a great actor, but it sounds like you guys are saying there were some strings pulled to get him in a movie, a la Johnny Fontaine or something.
Sure, sure. No, I mean, I think he moved out of Kenosha before, before he was old enough to even know what was going on. But no, there's definitely that family link there.
Oh, that's interesting. Eric Walterkins and Gavin Schmidt are here in the studio. They are the hosts of the Milwaukee Mafia podcast. I always try to get, like, Bob Dennis introduced me to you guys, and he's a fun guest too. I love having Bob on. And I've asked him this: are there any connections you know of in Northeast Wisconsin to the mob? Like, you kind of assume there would be in Milwaukee, and there are, but, like, what about this area? There's a 500,000 people in Green Bay, Appleton, this area. Any connections that you know of?
Yeah, I mean, we've done some stories. There was some stories about them trying to open a restaurant in Appleton.
Yep.
I know that one of the guys who was involved in prostitution in the 40s for the mob moved into Green Bay later on. We just recorded not long ago about them bribing the mayor of Menasha.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What year would that have been?
That was 72.
Okay.
I want to say. I could be slightly off on this. Early 70s, though. And when you had given the pre-show email out, I had mentioned that one of the Balustrade trials was held in Green Bay.
Mm.
Should have been in Milwaukee, but they asked for a change of venue because they said Milwaukee would be prejudiced. So it was held in Green Bay. And I still would love to know who was on that jury, because they wouldn't make the, usually a jury's public, but they wouldn't make it public in that case because they didn't want those people's names out there. If anybody was on that jury and they feel comfortable, I'd love to hear what sitting on the jury was like, because afterwards, the Balustrade family did not have some very nice words to say about that jury.
Really? Go figure. A mob guy doesn't have good things to say about a jury. Who are some of your favorite gangsters to talk about on your podcast?
Eric, you got one?
I don't know if I would say that I have any, like, favorite that I like to talk about.
I'm
a big fan of, like, the older, like, Vito Guardalobeni would have been the very, very, very first mob boss of Milwaukee. And I really like, unfortunately, if you go through and you listen to the podcast, you're going to find out that the early stuff is kind of light. And that's just because the information just isn't there.
Okay.
But that is, like, my favorite part of the mafia. Because back in that era, they were smaller, they were scrappier, they were doing very localized things. And I think those make for much better stories, where you know, like most of our listeners are probably really excited about the Frank Ballastieri going to Reno, Nevada and stuff, but that just really doesn't do it for me. I like hearing about the stuff that's around
the early
me.
Stuff. Yeah. That's interesting. What about, you guys have a favorite gangster movie?
Oof.
You know what? Think about that. We're going to do another quick commercial.
Okay.
Eric Walterkins and Gavin Schmidt are here from the Milwaukee Mafia podcast. We're talking mafia. And we've got a Steady Eddie text we got to read to. John Murray says, what's your favorite fast food burger? That's a great question, John. I'm going to say, I guess, In-N-Out Burger.
Ooh.
It's well a West played. Coast thing. Well, you know, well played, man.
Just mostly because I miss it. Like, there are good burgers in the Midwest like that, too, but I have access to them. I'll ask these guys that question, too, when we come back after a very short break. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight, the home stretch, coming up next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Lil Irv on the stream says, what is your secret? Conrad, do you want to take that one?
I don't know if it's much of a secret, you know.
All right. What is it?
I don't even know.
You don't even know your own secrets. That's how secretive Conrad lives. I'll say I was in the mob for a while. And that's why I invited you guys here. I'd like you to write a book about me.
Let's see.
Immortalize me if you would, please.
You have definitely have the mob name and the mob look.
The Schwabba and the pink skin. Yeah. Definitely. I strike fear into everybody I cross paths with. Steady Eddie in the 608 says pregunta.
Pregunta. That's the question.
Huh?
We have that in the question of the night montage.
What am I? I put that together 2 years ago. Pregunta. That's my favorite
you
one.
Remember.
In the whole,
yeah,
I totally forgot about Pregunta. Sorry about this, Steady. I didn't mean to snap you. I hope we're still friends. He says, what do you think about my idea of making Malik Willis and Jordan Love co-number one quarterbacks? Both quarterbacks would play a lot. It would keep opponents guessing. Both offer unique abilities. Willie has proven to me he has the ability and should be given a chance to be a starter in the NFL. Sometimes he appears more effective than Jordan Love. I think it would be a great experiment. Make Willis the highest paid backup quarterback and sign him to a 5-year contract. What do you think, Con?
I don't like that he should be the highest paid backup quarterback in a 5-year.
Conrad's so contrarian. I don't even know what to do with that. I'm sorry, Steady Eddie. He says, feel free to pass along my idea to Green Bay Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Conrad's got his ear. He'll tell him. He says, I feel a Super Bowl could be in the Packers' near future. You're welcome, Steady Eddie. Pregunta. I can't believe it's embarrassing. Thank you, Steady Eddie. All right, we have a few more minutes with our guests from the Milwaukee Mafia podcast, Eric Walterkins and Gavin Schmidt. Gavin, where can people find your books about the mob?
Anywhere you can find books these days. You know, I hate to plug that notorious online seller, but that is an option. But if you've got a bookstore near you, they might have copies, and if not, they can order them.
We know who you mean.
Yeah.
But if you can buy it from a mom-and-pop place, do that. Right?
Yes, please.
Okay. Fair enough. Do you guys have a favorite mob movie?
I do not have a favorite mob movie, so...
Yeah, so... As far as if people ask me, like, what's the best, most accurate mob movie, I'm giving it to Goodfellas. I think Goodfellas is a strong contender. It's, you know, it's Hollywood, but it's fairly accurate. Yeah. But I'm partial to the old James Cagney, Edward G. Robinson stuff.
Oh, nice.
So.
Wow, nice. Did you ever see Miller's Crossing?
Oh, yeah. Coen Brothers? Yeah, Coen Brothers.
That's kind of a forgotten about, you know, because it's the Irish mob mostly, but the Italians are in there too. And that's a really well done. That's one of my favorite that doesn't often get mentioned.
That's
a deep cut
right there.
Yeah. what about who, in your opinion, in the history of, well, I guess, you know, gangs, is the most dangerous gangster? Who is the worst killer?
What?
So you're not talking just Milwaukee. You're talking overall.
Could, you could go Milwaukee if you want. Both, if you can do it, or if you just want to answer.
You want to take that?
Well, my definite the Milwaukee guy would be Steve DeSalvo. Steve DeSalvo was like Frank Ballesteri's right hand man, and kind of did all of his dirty work for him. So when you hear of violence in Milwaukee, a lot of times his name is not far away. May not be the guy doing it, but he's very near.
Given
in
the
connection
maybe,
of it, yeah.
Wow. What about you, Gav?
Yeah, I mean, as far as Milwaukee goes, I think that's a strong answer. Other than that, it's hard to say. There's some great books out there. There's guys like, his mob name is like Tommy Karate. But there's other guys who, like, they'll chop you up in the bathtub and stuff. I mean, like, just guys who get a dozen contracts and don't feel the least bit bad about doing them.
Yeah, what do you make of that?
I don't know. I mean,
because you hear stories about, like, some guys that did have remorse. They did it because they needed the money or they were fearful of retribution. And then there's guys. There was a Chicago mob killer named Milwaukee Phil El Mauricio, who I always assumed was from Milwaukee. But do you know why they called him that?
He spent a lot of time in Milwaukee.
Okay.
Right? His wife owned a restaurant,
correct, sir. Yes, his wife had a barbecue restaurant on Fifth Street in Milwaukee.
Oh my gosh! I hate to know what happened in that kitchen or what they're doing. And what about who do you find the most interesting? We've got about a minute and a half left or so. Most interesting gangster or mafia cast member, so to speak.
So that's a hard one. The guy who is always going to stick with me, as far as Milwaukee goes, is a guy named Sam Vermilio. And Sam Vermilio is like not a well-known name, but he was involved in a little bit of everything, and he bounced around between Milwaukee, Detroit, and Canada.
Mm.
And he got deported multiple times, snuck back in multiple times. And as far as I know, they never figured out where he went. The last time he got deported, they never saw him again.
Huh.
But he just, like, I've spoken to his grandkids, and they're like, we don't know whatever happened to him.
Oh, wow.
So I love his, like, being the mystery man that bounces around throughout the Midwest and just vanishes one day.
Where's Jimmy Hoffa?
Who killed him? Parking lot of Miller Park, right? Well, it's not Miller Park anymore, whatever it's called.
I've heard the giant stadium in East Rutherford.
Third base of a former county stadium. Come on.
Do you have a theory?
No.
Yeah.
Did you listen? Because we actually did do an episode on that. Did you listen to that?
I did not listen
to that. Yeah, there is a theory that he is buried in under third base of County Park.
Yeah, they got the ground penetrating radar and everything.
Fingers crossed. Gavin Schmidt and Eric Waltergans, thank you guys for being here in person. This is so much fun. We got to do this again.
Thank
and we'll
you.
Have you back on because you have another great podcast about Northeast Wisconsin unsolved murders. We'll do that too. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, folks, 7,000 Apart will be here performing in studio. We'll talk to Ellen Burling about the Santa Cruises in Lake Geneva. My pal Ben Reiser from Madison will talk movies. And then Steve Marche-Torme makes his first appearance on Nightlight in the studio. It's going to be a lot of fun. Conrad, you'll be here, right?
I think so.
Okay. No powders. All right. We're doing it all again tomorrow night. Thank you to all my guests, Gavin Schmidt, Eric Walterkins, and Mike Clemens, and Paul Gannis, and who else, Conrad? Johnny Beater, we're coming back tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.